Welcome to Focus on the Community, produced by the DLC Media News Center. I'm Dave Crooks. Today we learn more about a plan to remove numerous trees from the Owen Putnam State Forest. My three special guests are in opposition of Indiana's decision to log this nearby forest. Jeff Stanton is the executive director of the Indiana Forest Alliance. He's also the former executive director of the Hoosier Environmental Council. Laura and Kurt Kemp chair the Owen Putnam Friends of the Forest. And Jeff and Laura, and of course, Kurt, welcome to our program, Focus on the Community.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so let's start with Jeff, first of all. Jeff, I guess I want to start by understanding better why should we be concerned about logging in a state forest, especially Owen Putnam?
Well, because it's a precious, publicly owned forest, and we don't have a lot of those in Indiana. Less than 5% of the state is in any public ownership of any kind, and the state forests are the only lands that the DNR manages that provide for opportunities for wilderness recreation, things like horseback riding, backpacking, hiking, long-distance hiking, on- and off-trail, primitive camping, teaching your kids how to orient with a compass, finding a stream and just you and your dog walking up that stream and then maybe camping out at the end of that stream wherever you want. That's what you can do in a state forest. It's always been the category of lands that provided for that. And this logging is really tearing up those areas where people have always enjoyed that.
Now, let me ask you this, and perhaps maybe Kurt and Laura can give me some additional information, but I've been searching the web trying to figure out, well, where's the public notice on this particular announcement that they're going to log this nearby forest? I haven't found anything. How do we even find out they're going to do this? Who wants to answer that?
Well, on this particular area there, the Rattlesnake Campground area in Owen Putnam, we just happened to run across it hiking. The public notice was given in October of 2013, and since that time, there's been no other public notifications.
Well, wait a minute. 2013, that's 9 years ago.
Yes, sir.
That's
yeah.
The most recent public notice on this particular harvesting plan or what?
Yes, that's true. And the only public notice that's been given has been given by us, the Owen Putnam Friends of the Forest, to get this word out that this is going to occur.
See,
Jeff, explain. Why is there such little public notice when they're doing these types of harvesting?
Well, they've greatly increased the amount of logging they're doing in the state forest since 2005 by 300 to 500%, depending upon which years you measure. And so they're developing 50 to 100 harvest plans every year, and they don't have the staff to execute then on going to sale. So what they do is they just archive them. And the people who comment on the plans never know what the final decision is. Just what happens is, later on, you find out, you might see a notice of a timber sale in your local newspaper. It might just happen 2 or 3 years later. It might happen 8 or 9 years later. In this case, it's happening 12 years later. And so it's just you're totally surprised. And whole communities change in that time. The forest changes in that time. There's very little transparency here. And plus, when they do the sale notice and they don't identify the tract often that they're doing the sale for, where they're going to sell all the trees for logged. So you have no idea of knowing whether they actually took your comments and made any changes in the logging plans. And, you know, this is real important to you if you live out there against one of these state forest tracts and the logging affects your daily life with trucks roaring by with logs and skidders real loud in the forest, and the area you always walk in is being compressed to hardscape or mud. So it makes a huge difference, and it just demoralizes people to all of a sudden find out that, oh, the tract around them in the state forest is all going to be logged, when they had no idea that this had been a harvest plan from 10 years ago.
Now, I've been to the DNR website this morning to try to learn more about the reason that the state would harvest any forest. There was a lot of information about the location down near Nashville. I guess that's called what, Yellowwood State Forest, where they've done this fairly recently. Is that correct?
Yeah, they've logged in the backcountry area there, an area that Governor Orr set aside for wilderness recreation where the logging was never to, if there was going to be any logging done, it was to make sure that the primitive condition of the forest would remain so that people would hardly know it happened. And they ended up cutting a thousand trees or so out of there or more. The place is choked with Japanese stilt grass now, an invasive weed that the wildlife can't eat. And there's just skitter trails all over where there was forest that was going back into the old growth condition. It'll take 80 to 100 years for that forest to ever get back to that condition again. And this is in the heart of Governor Orr's backcountry area that he established for primitive recreation.
Now, are there – the DNR defends, of course, they even have this label that kind of took me by surprise this morning. It says they have a headline that says the following: select a myth below to reveal the truth about timber harvesting. And they have, you know, several different little topics that you can click on and see why they claim this is a good idea to keep disease out of a forest. I mean, Jeff, why would they want to remove logs from a healthy forest standpoint, first of all? Can they defend taking trees out of a forest to keep a forest healthier?
No, what they're doing is they're managing the forest as a crop. And if you're a forester that sees the forest that way, the more you thin it out, it's like a garden. You know, the healthier your lettuce gets. But forests have been thinning themselves naturally for thousands of years before people came along. In fact, one of my favorite quotes from a forestry textbook is the greatest forest that humans ever saw existed before the first forester ever saw them. I mean, it when you thin a forest the way they're doing, they are cutting out all of the species diversity of the trees. Everything that's not oak and hickory, they're either killing in the sale or they're killing afterwards in a process called timber stand improvement. And they're also usually reducing the age diversity in the forest. Well, one of the most important things that ensures health in a forest is species diversity and a diversity of ages. These guys are doing just the opposite and then telling the public they're doing this for the health of the forest. And, of course, you know, if you're the average person walking down the street, you know, you assume that they must know what they're talking about. But they're really, behind the scenes, the agenda is to get the wood out, to treat the forest as a crop.
And Laura and Kurt, since you've walked the area at Owen Putnam State Forest, can you see that it's obvious what type of trees that they're targeting for removal just by looking at them? I mean, can you?
Definitely. You can tell what trees they're targeting. Poplar trees, beech and maple trees, and any tree that's not oak hickory, basically. And it's not just about the trees. These guys don't see the forest for the trees because it's about the ecology, the biodiversity, and the hydrology of this particular area that is so very sensitive, and those things aren't always taken into account when they do these logging operations.
Okay, and you want to add to that, Kurt?
Well, the DOF's position is they have to do this or these forests will collapse, and there's no reason to suspect that if they do not log the Rattlesnake campground area, that the Owen Putnam's going to suffer in any ways. There's every reason to suspect that if they do the harvest, it'll be at a high cost to the Owen Putnam State Forest and the people that use the forest.
You mentioned DOF, Department of Forestry, I guess?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I guess back to you, Jeff. Is this common practice in other states to go in and harvest trees in a protected state forest?
Yeah, state forests are commonly logged, but the difference is in other states, they're setting aside large parts of their state forests for primitive recreation and ecological habitat, and they refuse to do that here. We used to do that in Indiana. Before 2005, 60,000 acres of the state forests were set aside from any logging. And today it's 4,000 acres. And while that shift has happened, and so 60,000 acres was 40% of the state forest acres, and 4,000 acres is 2.5% of the current state forest acres. So that's the difference of what's happened here. We have dramatically reduced the amount of protected lands within the state forest. Just as most states log in state forests, they also protect lands in state forests. That's the idea of multiple use, that state forests aren't just for logging, But in Indiana, the Division of Forestry has decided, no, they are just for logging. And that raises the question of, well, then why should they even exist? I mean, we don't have state cornfields. We don't have state soybean fields. Okay, so why do we have state forests that really are just for logging with everything else just window dressing, but it's supposed to be secondary to logging? That's the contradiction therein.
Well, I think back to the legislative session last year, they pretty much removed all the protections for Indiana wetlands. There's a few exceptions that have already been protected, I guess, federally, but I guess we can pretty much say that no protections for wetlands. Would you equate that sort of a change in policy or law to what's going on with the forest now, that they're just not going to worry about protecting what was originally labeled as something that we would not harvest or not?
It's similar to that. Now, the wetlands debate in the legislature was about control of lands that are usually owned by private landowners, whereas the state forests issue is about how should our public forests be managed. The 3% of forests in Indiana that are publicly owned and called state forests. And so that's the issue is a little bit more narrow, but it deals with the public trust and how the DNR manages that public trust. And what we're saying is they're sacrificing that for just timber, and that they shouldn't be doing that. The law that created the forests in 1903 said that they were to be managed for equal enjoyment and guaranteed future use for Hoosiers. That's the exact words, or something like that.
Sure.
That's not what they're doing. They're managing them for usually two or three timber buyers, giving them a bargain basement price, selling them veneer logs for firewood prices. That's literally how bad it is. They're underselling the timber so much. And so in addition to it being unfair to the people who own these forests, it's a total ripoff of them as Hoosier taxpayers whose money's paid to buy these lands and protect them and manage them as forests. They're selling these timber sales. We've studied this, and for the last 10 years, they've been on average well below the price for low quality timber.
So is there a way to track what the Yellowstone sale produced in dollars, and where did the dollars technically go in the state budget?
Well, the dollars go back to 85% of them go to the Division of Forestry's budget, and 15% of them go to the counties. I don't have the exact amount that they got from the Yellowwood sale, but what I can tell you is that even the counties like Jackson and Brown that have the most acres of forest, Clark's another one, Harrison, that the money they're getting from timber sales, that 15%, is chump change compared to the repairs to bridges and roads that they have to do because of the extremely heavy logging trucks, you know, carrying logs over county bridges and roads that were not meant to handle weight that much. The weight of a logging truck, 80,000-pound logging truck, and not just one pass, but you know, many passes by that truck that wears out bridges that cost millions of dollars to replace, and these guys are getting $10,000, $15,000, at most $100,000 a year for this the timber, so for example, the Salamony sale that just happened at Salamony River State Forest, the total price for it was $10,000. Wabash County gets, in theory, $1,500 for that.
That sounds like pothole change.
Right. I don't think you could repair that many potholes mm-hmm. with that much money. And so there's all these costs, none of that of which are accounted for by them in their timber sale accounting.
Laura and Kurt, since you live near the forest at Owen Putnam, you mentioned that you can see that they're starting to tag these trees, I assume, and I've had even another person tell me that these are trees that could be 80, 90, 100 years old. Is that obvious to you, to the naked eye, I guess, or not?
Well, some of them are that old and possibly older, especially a particular tulip poplar that we've all become fond of, and it has a red stripe on it now, and the tulip poplar is the state tree. But since it's not a desirable crop tree at this time, they want to do away with these tulip poplars, and they have the myth that these are declining trees and they're going to die anyway, and they have to take them before they die. But trees aren't that short-lived. Some trees, most trees in the forest, have a 200 to 300-year-old lifespan, and they've taken out a lot of the prime trees, and now we're left with smaller trees. It used to be they didn't take trees below 16 inches, I believe, and now they've opened it up where they're taking even smaller trees.
So you coordinate this Owen Putnam Friends of the Forest, and what is that group all about, and why should people maybe join your group?
We started, the Indiana Forest Alliance helped get several local groups together around their local state forest to protect those areas that they knew that the locals dearly loved. And so in the process of starting that, we realized we lived in a logging community and that we had to put out the message that we are not anti-logging, that, yes, there are some times when logging is important, but logging in the state forest in special areas like the particular area around the Rattlesnake Campground area isn't necessary. They say it's necessary for wildlife habitat, but if you walk in there, the wildlife habitat is thriving. If you walk into a compartment, the next compartment over where they have logged, the wildlife hasn't come back and they logged like 5 years ago. So I think in the process that they have forgotten, like I said earlier, there's more to a forest than trees, and they see the tree count, but they never take an animal count, a biodiversity account, an ecological account, and that's a shame. And so the Owen Putnam Friends of the Forest wanted to show people the beauty of the forest. That was our idea. If we showed them how beautiful the forest was, they'd want to come out and help save parts of the forest. There are approximately 84 tracks in the Owen Putnam State Forest, and since 2015, they've logged almost half of them. And now we have 9 more RMGs open up that will be logged. So when you take
now wait a minute, what's an RMG?
Resource management guide.
That's a logging plan.
Okay.
It's your public comment period that's open right now is a comment for RMGs, resource management guides, and we have a 30-day public comment period that will close on March 15th for two of the tracks around Rattlesnake Campground. And so that's our mission right now, is to get as many people commenting on this very special area.
So where would they find that comment section? On the DNR website somewhere or what?
You go to the harvest plan on the Division of Forestry's website. You go to, and usually they have it divided, the harvest plans by forests, which Laura's correctly calling the resource management guides, by forest. And then you just look at the latest ones that they've posted. And that's how you would find the harvest plan. And then you when you comment, that you do it through a porthole on the Division of Forestry's website that's usually connected to the logging plan. And I think they would take comments also that you submit to them by email or mail before the 30 days is up. Usually it's hard to tell when the 30 days is up. They just say 30 days from when we posted this is the last we'll accept comments. Well, you don't know when they posted it. Often you just stumble on it. This is a real problem where the public just isn't being given notice about decisions that fundamentally affect their use and enjoyment of this resource that we all collectively own. I think it's grossly unfair to the public, and it's arrogant in that they think they know all there is to know about these forests. So we definitely think there needs to be a change in the whole procedure here.
All right, so we've got a few minutes left. What else have we left out that people listening should know about this particular logging plan coming to Owen Putnam State Forest? Who wants to take a quick shot at that?
I think the most important thing that we can get out there is that this comment period for two compartments, compartment four, tract eight, and compartment four, tract five, are open for public comment until March 14th. The Owen Putnam Friends of the Forest will have a meeting at the Owen County Public Library March the 7th at 6 o'clock to address this and to help people get the public comment process going. So we'll help people make those comments at that time and tell them how beautiful and special this area is.
And for those listening, can they find your group on Facebook?
You can find our group on Facebook, and you can also we have hashtag special places we're saving or hashtag save Rattlesnake Campground Area.
So like Owen Putnam, Friends of the Forest on Facebook, they should find you. And then I'm hoping that whether it's the comments that the DNR is collecting, you could put that post on that Facebook page, perhaps?
Yes.
Okay. Jeff, let's talk about in the remaining moments we have, what have we left out that you think Hoosiers should know about what the DNR is up to, not only at this nearby forest, but this is obviously something that's been in the works for a while and will continue to happen at nearby forests all over the state?
Well, yeah, the previous governors, both parties, set aside three backcountry areas and 51 tracts to become old forests where logging was prohibited, because they wanted to let old-growth forests return to the state forests. There are no old-growth forests in the state forests now, but they felt that if we set aside these forests now that are 100 to 120 years old, in several decades' time, we'll have old-growth forests again. And the current administration, all the administrations since 2005, have repealed all those designations and are logging in the backcountry areas and the state forests. And so the buck here stops with the governor. So people have to contact Governor Holcomb at 317-232-4567.
He's doing that by memory, folks. Yeah. Say that again.
Contact Governor Holcomb at 317-232-4567.
And it's also smart to call your state representatives, state senators,
right.
And let them know how you might feel on this. Because when I served, if you got a handful of people that would call my office at Indianapolis, you're like, oh, this must be a hot topic that's brewing. And it may only be three or four phone calls, but it does get the attention of your state lawmakers.
Yeah, the state legislators are the gatekeepers for state laws. Now, for the last 10 years, there have been 12 bills introduced to try to put a limit on this logging and to set some areas aside. Every one of them, except for one, they've refused to even give a hearing to. And the one they gave a hearing to, they refused to take a vote on. So the legislators need to hear from their constituents that this is not acceptable, and they need to listen to the people here.
And currently, do we have any self-proclaimed friendly senators or representatives when it comes to protecting the forest? Can you name one or two that are in our region?
Eric Bassler is our particular state senator, and he has helped us out quite a bit.
I know Eric very well.
And he's in the process of helping us get a meeting with Roderick Bray, who is also in there.
The Senate pro tem, yep.
Right. And I think it's important, too, to let everybody know, we need to also contact Dan Bortner, who is the head of the Division of Natural Resources.
Representative Bruce Borders has always been supportive of our position on the state forest. He feels there should be some limits on it and areas should be set aside. And he's facing a primary challenge from a gentleman who's totally against us.
Jeff Ellington, right?
Yep. So, you know, if you care about the state forest and you want a legislator who's going to stand up to the DNR and the leadership of both parties over this issue on the floor of the House, you should support Bruce Borders in this primary fight he's in.
Now, for the Indiana Forest Alliance, how can they find more information about this statewide group?
They can go to our website, www.indianaforestalliance.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. We put out an e-letter called Forest Flash. They can sign up to receive that and be kept up to date on things like the Owen Putnam sale plan and what's happening at the Salamone River Forest, where they're logging in bald eagle roosting habitat and other places where they're logging in endangered bat habitat on the state forest. So, and they can find out how to comment and where to comment to.
And again, if people want to know more about the Owen Putnam State Forest, Friends of State Forest, go to Facebook. And again, one more plug for the meeting.
It's Monday evening at the Owen County Library at 6 p.m., and there are special places worth saving.
And I'll give you a few more seconds, Jeff.
Indiana Forest Alliance is not a political organization, so we're not endorsing any candidates, including Bruce Borders. But I just want folks to know that he has been very helpful in fighting to save some of the wild nature in the state forest.
Yeah, we don't want you to lose your 501c3 status.
We're not endorsing him, no.
I understand. Well, folks, we do appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedules to help educate me and our listeners about this process in Indiana, and especially what is going on in our nearby Owen Putnam State Forest. And we hope that our people listening today will reach out to their legislators and call the governor's office. And again, that phone number, Jeff, is
317-232-4567.
Okay, want to thank all of you for being here. Jeff Stant, the executive director of the Indiana Forest Alliance. And we also want to thank Laura and Kurt. Gosh, I just lost your last name, guys. Kemp from the Owen County area, Putnam County area, and we appreciate you both being, or all three of you being on the program today, okay?
Thank you
very much.
By the way, we will give equal time to the Department of Natural Resources and the logging industry if they want to counter any of today's criticism. This has been Focus on the Community for the weekend of March 6th of 2022, produced by the DLC Media News Center. I'm Dave Crooks. For a download of this show and other past programs, you can visit any one of our radio station websites. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.